chapter 26. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. By the way, while you're there, if you didn't get the, if you weren't here last Sunday night, or didn't hear the tape Brother Earl Duncan preached, I hope that you'll get it. Boy, my heart was stirred as I saw him sit up here in a wheelchair with no legs, preach the Word of God. A lot of other people was too. I hope you took it seriously. Okay, there's that baby. Stand up and show it, Pam. Have you? There's another one back in here this morning. Amen. There's the little wall. Now I want everybody else to be just as quiet as you can this morning. No talking. No unnecessary noise. We need it quiet so each one can hear the Word of God. 1 Samuel, chapter 26. In reading the story of Saul and David, if you haven't read it lately, you ought to go back there and read the whole book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Especially this story here is in 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 26, I'll read you a statement made that if you're familiar with the Word of God, you'll know that Saul made. And it stuck out in my heart as I begin to read it and I begin to write on some things. Lord, give me this message. I don't know who it's to or for this morning, but I hope it's not for you. If it is, that you'll do something about it this morning and not become like he did. 1 Samuel 26. And verse number 21. Now please help me. Help me, mamas. All you mamas with babies, help me. You need it to be quiet. It's very distracting if someone around you can't hear. And we don't want no one else getting up. Get your seat and stay there. No talking. It's the most important part of the service. When it comes time to preach the Word of God. There's not a great thing that a human being can do. Open this sacred book. Tell people, talk to people about eternity. And heaven and hell. Look at 1 Samuel 26. Verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David. For I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes that day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. The statement Saul made, I have played the fool. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you this morning, God, it's with thanksgiving and grateful in our heart, Lord, that you've allowed us to come to church. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for all that's been said, all that's been done. Thank you for every song, for every word. God, that our dear brother spoke to us in the Sunday school hour. Now, dear Lord, as we come to this time in the service, Lord, when we're looking to you, God, we need your help this morning. Lord, I stand this morning where no man can stand alone. God, I'm standing between the living and the dead. Lord, I need your help this morning to empower me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, by your grace, I will try to do the very best I can to be an instrument to preach the Word of God. Dear God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts and do what ought to be done in every life in this place this morning. And Lord, at the end of this service somewhere, God, we'll bow down on our knees and I'll give you the glory and thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This is a story here in 1 Samuel, if you're not familiar with the book, of the rise and fall of a great man in Israel. Just how low and wretched a man can become morally, physically, and spiritually, you see as you study the life of Saul. Now, God had allowed Saul to become king of Israel. There was not a man in his day that had a higher place of authority than King Saul. You remember how that Israel wanted a king so that they could be like all the other nations around them. And God granted them request in that He allowed them to have a king. And God allowed them to pick out Saul to be their king. Saul was a choice man in Israel. And that old boy was goodlier. He was a handsome young man. And he stood head and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel. If there was a great big crowd of people, you could see Saul sticking up above them all. He was the choice of the people. They wanted him to be their king. And they all voted for him. And by popular demand, Saul became king of Israel. But here we see him, a miserable wretch with nothing, humiliated, lost in his pride, and winds up a suicide, laying in his own blood, and made the statement, "I have played the fool." You can start out way at the top and wind up at the bottom if you're not careful. The devil can mess up a man's life. The devil can cause you to fall miserably in this life. And if you don't think that you become a shambles and you can blow it and ruin your life, you just keep the direction some of you are going this morning, and one day you'll make the statement as Saul did, "I have played the fool." Israel demanded a king. God gave this man, but let's see what happened to him. You see, when God blessed him and he became great and got in a place of authority, Saul began to backslide. And as Saul began to backslide, his heart kept getting in worse and worse shape. And we seem like starting down a set of steps. And God had exalted him up here. He started down. He took a step, then another step, then another step. Chances are, if anybody in here start down these steps, you're not going to stop right here and stay there. If you start up those steps, you're not going to step on the second step and stay there. What you going to do? You're either going to go up or you're going to go down. Now, if you're up here this morning and living for God, if you're not careful, some of you, I've already noticed it, you've took a step down. You're not going to stay there on that step. You're going to take another one down or you're going back up. You're not going to stay there. Now, you're going to see Saul's life go down the steps. Many people today, right here in McDowell County, their life is simply going down the drain. Every time you see them, they're a little bit lower. Every time you see them, they're a little bit more miserable. Every time you see them, they're a little bit more wretched. God wants to bless you and exalt you and keep you in a position of blessing. But if you will not listen to God and demand to go your own way, you're going to start going down. We see him, first of all, as committing the sin of self-will. Saul's first sin that he committed was self-will. In chapter 13, you can write it down. I don't want you to turn there right now. We got some other scriptures to give you. In chapter 13, verse 8 to 10, we find out that Saul decided it was church time. And Saul needed a burnt offering to offer to God. But it just so happened that Samuel was out of town. And he's gone. Now, God had commanded that only priests can offer sacrifices. Nobody. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how important they are. Doesn't matter if they're the king. They cannot offer a sacrifice unless they are a priest. The priests in the Old Testament are types of God's preachers. And Brother Samuel was gone out of town, God's priest. And old Saul said, "I'm the king of Israel. I can do anything. I have sovereign power. I'll do as I please." And Saul offered a burnt offering without the priest Samuel, God's man. His first sin was he didn't think it was important to have the preacher around. He just went ahead and done it his way. I'm saying here this morning, folks, that God had ordained preachers to offer sacrifices and those priests, and Saul's sin was he figured he could do without Samuel, that he was good enough without him, that he was important, that he was rich, that he had power, and that he didn't need Samuel to help him. Now your sin in that could be when you get to the place where you think you don't need the preacher. Everybody needs preaching. I'm a preacher, and it does me so good to go every time I can and sit in a revival meeting and just sit down at the feet of God's preacher and let him preach to me from this Bible. I'm saying you this morning, if you show me a man that thinks he don't need preaching, I'll show you a man that's on his way down. Have you ever met this crowd that says, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I can live just as good at home. I'll guarantee you one thing, they're on their way down to being in trouble. It's your self-will that exalts your will over the will of God. Many could have been saved heartache, divorce, bills, hospital rooms, jails, but they lived without the preacher. They lived without the preacher. You better be real careful about turning up your nose at the preaching of the Word of God. Someday down the road somewhere, you'll be in a divorce court, you'll be in a jailhouse, you'll be in a hospital room, and said, I wish to God I had listened when God's man preached. You know, a lot of people have the idea the preacher's their enemy. And they say, ooh, there's that old mean man that hollers and screams at us all the time. And he fusses at us for doing bad things. What they don't know is that a real, honest-to-goodness, God-called preacher is the best friend you can have. Thank God we've got some men who will stand and point us in the right direction. I tell you what, folks, I thank God for those old men of God that when I first got saved, I went to Nebo Baptist camp meeting and I was sitting there. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know how to live. I was a part-time hippie. I'd run around and done my own thing. I was getting in trouble. I had a little old sports car and a little MG's what it was. And I drove around all over McDowell County with a top down, boy. I had my Grand Funk Railroad tapes in the tape player, and I just ran around. I was rebellious in my heart. I did not want to live for God. But boy, I sat down there with some preachers, and some they trimmed the limbs off of me. I sat down there and I said, all right, preach it to me. And boy, about that time, pow! And about that time, pow! And it's just like they're shooting darts in my heart. But I knew that it was God helping me and that I needed. Listen, if I wasn't a pastor of a church, you know what I'd do? I'd find me the church where the preacher preached that Bible and told me how to live right and told me about my sin, and I'd scoot up under that front row as close as I could get, and I'd say, set me straight, man. I don't want to get in trouble with God. I need the preaching of the Bible in my life. That's why when you come here, we don't take the whole service and have you a cantata. That's why I come here. We don't take the whole service and give you a once in a while. We may do something for Christmas or something like that. But 999 times out of 1,000, when you walk in these doors, I want somebody just to get up and skin our hide with the Word of God. That's what you need. Some of you wouldn't be in trouble that you're in this morning if you'd listened to what the preacher told you about 10 years ago. You wouldn't be in the mess you're in today if you hadn't have tried to do it your own way. Now, I'm talking about the first church of the Refrigerator without sign that's got a sign, Dr. Jack Frost, pastor. I'm not talking about a social club. I'm not talking about a little put-on, big-shot get-together. I'm talking about Bailey preaching. One of these modernistic preachers, he was at a church one time, and he pastored, and his sermons were to the extent of, well, brethren, unless you see your need in a measure and repent, as it were, you may possibly be damned to some extent. You know, that kind of thing. Like a politician, you couldn't tell what he was saying. By the time he got through, you don't know if he said yes, no, I'm for it or against it, brother. You don't know what he meant when he got through.
And he had one of these little type of preachers, and he's getting ready to resign and getting to leave town. And one young man come up to him, and he said, "Pastor, I really hate to see you go." He said, "Before you come to this church, I cared neither for man, God, nor the devil. And now I love all three of them." I ain't talking about that kind of church. I'm not talking about that kind of preacher where you just love everything and everybody. I'm talking about the kind where you preach the word of the Lord. God has a will for your life. Young people, God has a plan for your life. You know that plan through the preaching of the word of God. You see these young people that come to church all the time, sit up here and listen. You see them? There's the ones God's going to bless. You know why? They say, "I can't live it by myself. God, I need your preacher to help me." That was Saul's mistake. That was his mistake. He said, "I don't need old Sammy. I can do just as good without him. I'll do my own thing." And so as a result, his sin of self-will. But old Saul took another step downward in that it wasn't long. Number two, he was disobedient to the clear command of God. We see him there right on over there where the Lord said, "Saul, now you go over there to the Amalekites and you kill every one of them. They've been sinning and they're a rebellious nation, and you fight Amalek, man, woman, child, sheep, oxen, ass, donkey, don't matter what it is. If you find it there in that land, you kill it." You understand that? Saul says, "Yes, sir." They went down there and they began to fight the battle. They killed everything. They killed that. They began to kill the people there of the Amalekites. And Saul decided that he would keep some of the most choice animals. And so, brother, he kept some of the good animals alive and just killed the bad ones. And he threw Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and brought him back. And boy, old Samuel come along there. And old Sam, you know, it's always the preacher. They always get on your nerves because they keep you in line. And old Samuel, he come up and he said, "Saul, did you do what the Lord told you to?" He said, "Sure I did. I done exactly what the Lord said." He said, "You do exactly what God said?" Saul said, "Sure." And Samuel said, "I could have heard a donkey or a sheep going, nah. What's that noise? I believe I hear some cows back in there." And Saul said, "We kept a few of the best ones." He said, "What you doing that for, man? God told you to kill all of them." He said, "Well, the people thought, and I thought, and we got together and had us a business meeting. And we decided it didn't need to be done that way." He said, "But what about God? What did God say? God said, kill them all." He said, "Well, in this enlightened day and time, since I became the king of Israel, it feels like that people look at things different than they did back then when God told me to do that. Samuel, good night. What's the big deal? What's a few? It doesn't really matter." Now, you know what Saul's sin was? He didn't really take what God said seriously. He took what God said, but he just halfway done it. Now listen, God has told some of you folks here this morning, God has warned you to get Amalekite out of your life. What Amalek stands for in the Bible? The flesh. And brother, God wants you to get every sin. You want to go fox hunting or squirrel hunting? Why don't you go sin hunting? And when you get right with God, you go take a little old shotgun and look down in your heart and find all the sin you find and shoot it dead and get rid of it. That is the command of God for your life. Now when you spare some of those little sins and allow this little sin to grow and that little sin to grow, you say, "Well, I've killed 75% of it." That ain't what God said. God said, "Kill it all. Kill it all. Kill it all." 75% ain't good enough. You say, "Well, good night, I feel like if I've done 75%, that'll do." No! He disobeyed God! And you know what God done? He rejected him being king. I tell you preachers here something this morning. If you claim that God Almighty's called you to preach, you better surrender everything you've got to God. He'll reject you. Hey! Every Christian ought to be sold out, but especially a preacher of the gospel. especially a deacon, especially a Sunday school teacher, especially those that stand in front of a little class and open up the Bible and begin to teach. Brother, he'll reject you from doing what he wants you to do for that incomplete obedience. He was rejected and David was accepted. Saul said, I sinned. But he didn't change, and an evil spirit came upon him. This is when God deals with you about sin, but you only partially get rid of it. That's like God saying, cut them 10 trees down in your yard, and you go out there and cut 7 of them down. And you come back in and say, did you do what the Lord wants you to? Yeah, I performed the commandment of the Lord. Let's cut them all down. Most of them. Well, then you didn't do what the Lord told you to then. You say, that's hard. Can't help it. Didn't write the book. My job's to preach. And the Lord wants total obedience from you here this morning. Saul's third step downward. You see, during this time, God had begun to bless David. And you know the story. Old David come out of the sheep country. Boy, he got that sling. Wound that thing up. Saul's back our chicken because he's backslid. That's how come you're chicken. And he wound that thing up. Let that rock go smack dab between the eyes. Got the old giant. And he fell down, run up and got his sword. Whacked that giant's head off. And Saul came back into town and became extremely jealous of David. Watch it carefully now. You're going to see a man go down. You're going to see a man that reminds me of a movie star wind up an old drunk in an alcoholic place somewhere. You're going to see a man that could throw a football a country mile and then wound up blubbering, slobbering down his beard in an insane asylum. You're going to see a man who was strong and could handle chariots and could handle a sword, but he's reduced to nothing. You got him next? Jealousy. You see, they come back into town that day. Everybody was coming into town. Big tough guy, soldier. Praise God, we run the Philistines off. You know, here they come. They hadn't done nothing. David went out there and smoked Goliath, and you know, they all went down there and shun a battle when the victory is over. Here they all come down there. Glory to God, here we come. God's mighty soldiers. And it just so happened that the women of the city were out there and had their tambourines. And they was out there and they go, bop, 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 bop. That's the way I pitch. And boy, they was out there going around and around. They had these long dresses on, and they'd swirl around like that. And their dress would go, and they'd beat them tambourines, and they'd do this. And they had a little old jingle going, and it said, Saul has slain his thousands. Saul has slain... Oh, Saul, Lord, I'm about to fall off. Getting dizzy. They said, oh, Saul says... Oh, yes, yes, he has. Yes, he has. And boy, that ego, man, that head swelling up about like that. And the second verse of that little tune came out. But David, his 10,000. But David, his 10,000. Saul goes. He put his eye on that boy. See, he liked all them women making a fuss over him. Look up here at me, boys. If all you live for is for the girls to make a fuss over you, you're just a little punk. Little punk, little punk, little punk. You say, I'll beat you up after the service. Meet me right out there. I'll send my daughter out to take care of you. If I ain't there in 10 minutes, start without me. But I'll tell you something, brother. You meet these playboys every now and then. And all they want to do is come in and show off in front of the girls. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, yes, yes, your foot, too. You're on your way down. You're on your way down. And boy, you know what he said? Saul eyed David. Everywhere David went, Saul had his eye on him. He hated him. Now, the bad thing about jealousy is when you're jealous of somebody, usually instead of messing up when you're jealous of, it messes you up. You ever notice that? You watch somebody gets real jealous over anything, and instead of destroying the one they hate, it destroys them. Jealousy always causes you to play the fool. When them women sang David slain his 10,000, son, that done it right there. And Saul went back and they said, "What's the matter, Saul?" And he said, "Well, I'm aggravated." They said, "What's the matter, Saul? You've won the battle." He said, "Well, it's David, David, David. That's all I hear. David, David, David. Good night. He got this, he got that. Everywhere you hear on the radio, and they're talking about him on the news. David this, David. I'm sick of David." And somebody said, "You're a little bit jealous, are you there, King?" He said, "No! How should I be jealous?" Good night, he's getting this, and he's getting that. And he's, "What more can he have but the kingdom?" That's what he said. He said, "He's got the women looking at him. What more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul sure didn't think there was much, did he? First was the kingdom, second was the women's attention. What a miserable shape to get in. Lord, help, you ought to have something better to live for than that. You ought to have a higher, more noble, more love. Listen, when you grow up and get married, it's time to quit you flirting. I can't hear you. I said, when you grow up and get married, it's time to quit your flirting. Now try it again. That's better. You probably had to repent before you could say it so much. I'm telling you this morning, friends, it got him in trouble. He was jealous. Let's think about envy and jealousy just a second. It led him to attempt murder 3 times. Hadn't been for the miraculous power of God, he'd have been a murderer. See, that old evil spirit from the Lord. The Lord allowed to come on Saul, get on Saul, and I don't know what he'd done. He just, and an evil spirit would get on him. And he'd have to get David in there to play on his harp. And son, old David could play that harp, and Saul just jealous as a devil. And David in there and play that harp, son, and that old evil spirit would have to leave. And Saul got to looking at him over there, and he said, "Little smart aleck thinks he's something. Just cause he's young, kill a giant. Big deal." And boy, he hated him. And he had a javelin in his hand. He had a big knife. And boy, he just right back throwed that thing. And David seen that thing coming. He's going to smite him to the wall with it. And he jumped out of the way and the dagger stuck in him. He tried that 3 times to kill that man cause he's jealous of him. There's men in prison this morning because of jealousy. Right now, while I'm preaching to you, there's people serving time in jail for being jealous. There's a lot of nice china got busted up, fork thrown around, and glasses busted because of women jealous. This monster lurks in the shadows and sneaks around and attacks and overcomes you, wrecks your life. Robs you of your joy and power, and defeats you in your purpose. Envy is the daughter of pride, the beginner of sedition, the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison that consumes your flesh and rots your bones. You see it through the Bible. It caused Korah to lie about Moses and wound up getting him killed. It got Joseph thrown in the pit by his jealous brothers. It caused trouble between Jacob and Esau all the days of their life. Worse than that, envy was responsible for the most terrible sin that's ever been committed on planet Earth, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for envy they delivered him. The Roman soldiers and the Jewish priests and the Pharisees, they had Jesus Christ crucified because they was jealous of him. You people here this morning, some of you, you're letting jealousy just eat you alive like cancer. And it'll ruin you. And God sent you to this church this morning for me to tell you. I wrote these notes out up in Kentucky the other day. And I was down praying at a little old bed. I had to sleep in a little baby bed. It wasn't much bigger baby bed. It was a little kitty bed. And son, I had to get down this far and get down and pray on it. And boy, I got down and I'd pray. And I'd say, "Lord, yes. Lord, give it to me. Lord, give it to me. I don't know who's going to be there Sunday morning." And God began to deal with my heart. I put these thoughts down. And He knew you were going to be here this morning. And He brought us both together. And here we are. What you going to do about it? You just going to sit there and say, "Well, that's pretty good. Going home." And forget it! Our problem in America is
We hear a lot of preaching, but we won't do nothing about it.
I played the fool.
I heard a story of this Grecian story, a legend over there in Greece, and some guy won the Olympics and won all the races, and his competitor, his chief competitor, was real jealous of him.
And so they made a statue of the fellow that won the race and put it up downtown, and every night he'd sneak down there and try to chop that thing down. He despised the image of his chief competitor being up in the middle of town. So every night he'd go down there and beat on it. And one night it fell on him.
And crushed him.
That's what jealousy will do to you. You try to destroy somebody else, it'll crush you and ruin you and rob you and ruin your life. You'll play the fool. Saul began to cry.
He had made a fool out of himself.
Fourthly, we him rejected by God.
Listen to this. I'm talking about the king of Israel, folks.
I'm talking about a man that's over here offering a sacrifice.
Now he's turned into demon spirits.
One thing led to another.
Help me now, mamas. Help me on everybody here.
The Lord wouldn't answer his prayers. He prayed and God wouldn't say a word to him. He went to the preacher and said, "Preacher, can you help me? Get out of here, man. You're backslid." He went to the Urim. They had the Urim and Thummim. They were trying to get a vision, and God wouldn't let him have a vision. God wouldn't let him have nothing from the preacher.
The Lord rejected him, and you know what he done?
He said, "All right, God, if you ain't going to help me, I'll go find me a witch."
And that boy went into the witch of Endor.
And wore a disguise. Put him on a false mustache, you know. Put on some glasses, a hat. And here he comes. "You're the witch of Endor? That's right. Have a seat." He said, "Nothing's going to happen to you. I need some help. I need some advice. I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do." Now you think about that. You think about that. Here was a man who was king on the throne. Had the blessings of God.
Now he's sitting down there disguising himself and his voice in a witch house.
You say, "Well, I'd never do that." I bet he thought
he'd never do it first either when he first started down.
But his disobedience led to jealousy. His jealousy rejected by God. He had to turn and go get counsel from a witch. Let me tell you something this morning. If you reject God, if you say no to God, and if you won't do what the Lord wants you to do, you know what you'll do? You'll turn to the devil. You'll turn to the devil.
And she brought him up Samuel.
And I ain't going to get into a long thing about whether that Samuel or not, but it was. And son, he brought him in there. And she said, "Why have you deceived me?" And he said, "Well, I need some help. I didn't know what to do. I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind." That's what sin will get you into. Some of you here who used to sit here in power and blessings and grace, you know where you're going to be? You're going to be in a hospital room, and you're going to be, "Blah, blah, 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 I don't know what to do. I'll go get me some liquor." You can't turn to God no more
because you walked away from Him. You'll turn to whatever you can get a hold of.
Right now in America,
there are 10,000. Y'all quit talking back there now. Listen to me. Up here I am. There are 10,000 practicing witches in America this morning.
Ouija boards sell 2 million a year.
People are making pacts.
You listening? People are making pacts with Satan right now,
so that they can get help.
They said, "I can't live for God. I want to smoke my dope. I want to drink liquor. I want to commit adultery. I like immoral sex. I like all kinds of... I can't live for God." Maybe the devil will
need some help. And they're doing it. I read the story of a man who made a pact with Satan. And the devil told him, he said, "I'll give you anything you want if you'll promise me your soul." He said, "You can have it." He gave him his soul. And he said, you can have anything you want, pleasure or power. And he got to see a vision of Helen of Troy, you know, and all this kind of thing, and had great power and pleasure. 24 years went by and he wasn't satisfied yet. The time come to die, he said, now wait a minute. I'm not ready to die. And the devil said, no, you made the bargain. You gave me your soul. I want it. And he said, I want to get right with God. I want to pray. And the horde of demons come. And grabbed his soul and drug him off to hell while his body fell over a limp. That's the shape you can get into. You've heard it on the music records of some of the foreign rock groups. Where you take enough to live for the devil, you deny the Christian faith, and they usually put some kind of mark on them in their private sections of their body to show they belong to the devil. And I'm telling you this morning, friend, if you may be sitting here in this church this morning and say, I would never do that. That's just exactly what the devil wants you to think. You go down the steps, one step at a time.
I could stand here and say, I'll never wind up down there on the floor. Somebody say, you better watch out, you're headed that way. It's all right, I can stop anytime I want to. They say, yeah, but you're going to be in trouble. I'm not going to the floor. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. Now, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going down, or I'm going up. The last thing we see about him, he become a miserable suicide. Chapter 31, verse 3 and 5. And don't pay any attention to what your Scofield Bible notes say there. He committed suicide. They got it all messed up there somehow. Some of the Bibles do, and have that Amalekite kill him. But Saul was a suicide. From a king to a bum. From riches to rags. From the royal throne to the face in the dirt. To fine meals and silverware and cloth, tablecloths and napkins. To his face. With dirt all over it, matted in his own blood. We see him reduced.
He's played the fool.
The Bible said that during the course of the battle, he got hit. They hit him with an arrow or a dagger or something, and he got hit and he got wounded. And he thought he was dying. And this fellow come running by, and he said, his armor bearer, and he said, take out your sword and kill me. And they said, no, man, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to kill the Lord's anointed. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. And the Bible said in chapter 31, when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he killed himself. He took his sword and fell on it. You say, what are you saying, preacher? He was up there on the throne. He had it made. He had everything a man could want. There he is laying there with his blood and guts coming out in the dirt. Played the fool. You're a fool to listen to the devil. You're a fool to go his way. He'll reduce you and reduce you and reduce you. Why would you want to play the fool? Devil. Don't play fair. One of these days, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One of these days, there's going to be thousands of people and hundreds of people from right here in McDowell County that are going to stand before God, and God's going to say, you're going out in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And they'll say, no, God, no, God, no. And the Lord will say, you had your chance. But you had to go do your own thing. You wanted to live your own life. You go up there in front of those people and pray. You remember? Remember? And they'll say, no, Lord. Lord, give us another chance, Lord. And God will say, depart from me into everlasting fire, into hell, for the devil and his angels. And they'll say, oh, God, played the fool. They stand with their heads bowed.
Every head bowed and every eye closed while they get us a song. We're not going to keep you but just another couple of minutes. We're going to give a quick invitation. Somebody here this morning need to hear this message. Don't be fooled. God, these people here this morning need to come to this altar. Lord, they're being reduced one step at a time. Oh God, one day they'll say, I played the fool. Help them this morning, Lord, to get life right with you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some's coming. While we sing the first verse, come get out of your seat right now. God is going to do a work right now. I've prayed about this all week. I've been looking forward to this. We're here. God, it's time to do something for the Lord. Come right now. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Just get out of your seat and come. Come on. Come on, young man. Young lady. Come on. Come on. Let God speak to your heart. One step at a time. The devil gets you. That's right. Ladies, come up as well. Amen.
And
amen. God, baby, just get out of your seat and come right now. Come on.
Of God I come.
Sing another verse, brother. While we sing, won't you come? While we sing, come on. Come on right now. If not right with the Lord, don't let it destroy you. Don't let the devil destroy your life. Come on. Don't be a fool. Why the fool?
To thee,
amen.
Whose blood can cleanse.
He'll help you this morning,
Philip.
Yes.
Of God, yes. I come.
Listen to me for a moment. God's moving here this morning. I'd probably be shocked if I knew how many hearts God tore up this morning during this message. This may be the first time you've ever been here. The Lord just spoke to your heart this morning. You may come every Sunday. God just got a hold of you this morning. You know what Saul's problem was? Once he had messed up, he was too proud to admit it. Now that pride will ruin you. Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before fall. If you're walking in pride, you're going to go off the cliff. It'll destroy you. It will destroy you. Don't be too proud to come and get it right. Sing another verse, Brother John. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on. Let's get it set right
now. Hey.
Come on. Come on. Come on right now. We'll be through. This will be all. Come on right now. Come on. Come on right now.
I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Amen. 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 Somebody else. Somebody else need to come. Amen. Come on right now. Don't say no. Don't turn down the Lord Jesus. Come and get it settled this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Head bowed, every eye closed. Now you may need to come. We're going to pray with these and let you go home. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's others here this morning that need to come, Lord, they're playing the fool. Lord, just like parts in a Chris play, their part is the fool. Lord, they'll realize it's a terrible price to pay for playing the part. Help them not to do it, oh God. Help them, Lord, get it right with you before they leave this place. Help these on the altar, Lord. Get just exactly what you need, what they from you, and you give it to them. God, I pray when they walk out of here, they'll know they're not going down the steps. They're staying on the mountaintop with Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we know you put the example of these men like Saul in the Bible for our example. And God, it's tragic to see how he just was reduced to a miserable suicide. God forbid and anyone here would ever go that far. God, Lord, help them, God, to realize there's something to live for. Help them to realize they can get right and can get it straightened out. And they can live for you once again. And can have the victory if they'll turn from their sins. Go with us now. We pray and meet back with us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. These are still praying. I believe everybody's about finished. I want you to just stay as long as you need to. Youth choir, 5:30 this evening. All of you need to be here. Going to go over some things. Service, 7 o'clock tonight, 15 to 7 prayer room. Good day. Lord bless you.